Last week we started a series called This Is Your Year, and we talked about vision and that vision guides us and guides our future, and that our future is worth protecting, and that to have that vision for the future and to test Jesus as part of your vision for the future. And a lot of this is about goal setting. A lot of this is about that, but you know, there's something cool, something fresh about, you know, a new season of life, about the summer, you know, school ending, going into the summer, and you're feeling good about moving forward in that regard, and you know, you got some energy maybe that you didn't have before, and you're kind of ready for whatever comes your way, and that's cool, and you feel good just thinking about maybe the things that you want to accomplish moving forward into this summer, and I hope that you do. And that's great, but you know, there comes a point where passion starts to fizzle out. You get pumped about something. You go, I mean, we see it when we go on missions trips and we go to camp. We're super psyched, then we come home and the passion just starts fizzling away. Passion just goes down, and you look at maybe the things that you want to accomplish and you're like, man, I really wanted to do this. I had these goals and I'm pumped about this. And then after a little bit of time, you're, you know, maybe you're in school and you're like, I'm gonna do this good in school. And then after so long, the chaos of school, the reality of school starts to take over. And next thing you know, you're just like, I'm good with a C. Let's just be done, right? We've all been there. We get that, you know what I mean? I get it. But when your passion starts to fizzle, your goals just start to become distant memories and you start to settle. But if you want to accomplish big things, you need to really believe in them. You need to believe in them. And sometimes our passion goes away for various reasons. Sometimes it's because people tell us that your dream is stupid. Sometimes it's because people tell us, oh, that's not realistic. You're dumb. Sometimes people say things like that and we believe it. Sometimes our passion fizzles away and goes away because we compare ourselves to somebody that's super amazing at whatever it is maybe that you're passionate about. And you're like, I will never be that. And so when you start playing that compare game, your passion starts fizzling. And let me just give you a good principle for life as a sidebar. When you compare, you lose every single time. When you compare, you lose every time. But not this year, right? This is your year. This year is your year. This is the year things are going to be good. This is the year that's going to be different. And so hopefully you guys want to make this year your year. And even those of you that are graduating, you're going into this whole new season of life, going into all this new stuff, and you got maybe, hopefully, you're positive about that going forward. I want you to know this year can be different. So here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to look to either somebody to the left or the right, and I want you to put your hand on your shoulder, and I want you to say, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
I'm all in. I'm all in, right? But here's what happens. We say we're all in, but then failure comes in. And failure starts to deflate us. Let me tell you a story about a 15-year-old kid, sophomore in high school. His dream was to play basketball, okay? His dream was to play basketball, so he tries out for the team. He works really hard all summer. He tries out for the team. He goes to look at the roster, see if he makes the roster. He did not make it. His name's not on the list. He's brokenhearted. He goes to the coach and he's like, what's the deal? Why didn't I make it? Coach tells him shooting skills were just okay. His defense was mediocre at best. But the coach also looked at him and said, and you're like 3 inches too short. You really shouldn't kind of be doing this. Now, if you have a dream about doing something like that and you have somebody tell you you're too short, you can't shoot, you can't play defense, or at least you're okay with those things, a lot of us would give up. A lot of us would not follow our dreams, especially when you're told you're not even physically gifted to do that. But this kid did not accept defeat. This kid kept going, he kept pushing forward. He didn't just stop and say that the team that he wants to be on, that their maximum is his minimum, or that he was the minimum and they were the maximum, meaning that's as good as I can do. He didn't say that. He trained, he pushed himself, and he finally got a spot on the team. Eventually, this guy grows up to be one of the best basketball players in history because his name's Michael Jordan. Because that's exactly what happened to Michael Jordan. Now, he was not going to let failure be his final. He was not going to let that happen. He wasn't going to let one bad moment define his career. He wasn't going to let one failure stop him from what he had a vision to do. Michael Jordan was all in, and he was all in or nothing, and nothing would stop him from pursuing and going after his dream. And so here's the question for you. Are you all in? Are you all in for what you're passionate about, for what God has put inside of you that you are super passionate about? Do you have the willingness to do whatever it takes to really accomplish maybe what other people see as impossible? Because God has put something in each and every one of us that we are passionate about, and that's different for me than it is for you. But all of us really have that, because if we really believe that God has created all of us to do something amazing in this world and to do something for him, then we have to all believe that none of us are here by accident and none of us are junk, because none of us are. God doesn't make junk. But you hear stories about Michael Jordan, about that. Reminds me of a story in the Bible about a guy named Elisha. And this is not a story that you've probably heard very many times. This probably is not something that you've ever really read, but Elisha was a prophet. He was an amazing prophet. He had a really like deep relationship with God. He was like super prophet in many ways. And he knew God intimately, and he was a great leader, and he led the country of Israel through some tough times. And the king, whose name was Jehoash, knew having this guy on his team would help him to win this war. There was a war going on that he wanted to stop. The king wanted to stop, and he's like, all right, so I need to see Elisha, and I need to see what's going on here, and I need to have him help me. I need this dude on my team. So we're going to be actually in 2 Kings 13, and we find that Jehoash heard that Elisha was on his deathbed. The guy was dying. And so he decides to go see him. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this king after the fact. But he knew that having him on his team would really help his chances of winning this war. So he went to Elisha, and he's kind of freaking out. And he's like, what are we going to do? And so that's where we pick it up here in 2 Kings 13. And so let me read this passage for you. I'm sure you guys have never read this. If you have, cool. But I hope this maybe puts a perspective on it that you can use. So here we go. When Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. Elisha laid his own hand on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open that eastern window, and he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, and you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. And so the king picked them up, struck the ground three times. And actually, that's another way of actually saying, like, shoot some more arrows when he says strike them against the ground. So he wasn't just, like, hitting arrows on the ground. It wasn't like that. So the king picked them up, struck the ground three times, but the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he said. He exclaimed, then you would have beaten Aram, but until it was entirely destroyed. Now you'll be victorious only three times. Now this is a weird story, I get that, all right? This is not like the norm. You don't hear about people doing this, but this was a custom. This was one of these customs that they had when it came to battles and wars. And this was a test of Elisha testing Jehoash and testing how much faith he had in the mission that he was given as a leader. It was a test of his faith, and Elisha wanted to see if he was all in. And Jehoash fell short. He fell short big time of what was available to him, because he was only willing to give some of what he had, because to him this was just a custom. If you read back a few more verses above that, you start to get an idea of the character of this king, of Jehoash. This was a guy who really was just, he wasn't really all in for his relationship with God. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. It even talks about how he carried over past sins from his ancestors and moved forward, and he didn't put a stop to them. He just kind of kept going and letting them happen, things along those lines. He didn't really care about that stuff. He just wanted to win the victory. He didn't really believe that God would come through. He was just doing what he thought he would do. So when Elisha was like, you know, strike him against the ground or shoot some more, the custom was, you know, so he was just probably like, all right, one, two, three, are we good? He was just kind of wanting his blessing, if you will. He didn't truly believe that God would come through. It was just a custom to him. And that's why Elisha got ticked. And that's why we always end up disappointed in ourselves. That's exactly why we end up disappointing ourselves, because we're not really all in when it comes to our vision sometimes, because we're not really willing to invest everything in maybe what God has given us, let alone investing everything in our faith in God. Because if God gave you arrows to represent your vision, how many times would you fire those arrows for your mission? How many times would you do it? Vision is going to tell us where to go, but if you're not all in, there is no point in trying. If you're not all in, there's no point in trying, because then it's just a desire. It's not a vision, like we talked about last week. We need to count the cost. The greatest people in the world became the greatest people in the world because they believed that there was something greater yet to be seen. We can look up to these people. We can look up to the greatness of these people. But we can't assume that their greatness is as good as it gets, because our maximum is God's minimum. Our maximum is God's minimum, and we serve a God that has more power than we can imagine. And he wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to be a part of that. And the world doesn't want another Einstein or another LeBron. It wants the first you. That's really what the world is looking for. So where are your goals for this year? Do you have goals going into the summer? Do you have goals going into next year? I hope that you do. For those of you that are seniors, do you have goals going into where you're going to school? Like, have you really thought that through? I hope you have. Some of you are nodding yes. That's sweet. Let me ask you this. Can you condense all those things into one solid goal, into one thing? And how much are you willing to invest for it? And is God part of it? Are you all in? Because Jesus actually had a lot to say about accomplishing goals. He had a lot to say about it. In Luke chapter 14, here's what he says. This is Jesus talking. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Nobody likes to chase dreams because we're scared of failing. If I said, how many of you like just love to fail? I doubt anybody would raise their hand. Like, nobody's like, yeah, that's awesome. It's the best. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, we joke about it or whatever, but we don't really want to, because it's also hard to tell other people our goals and our dreams, because when we don't accomplish it, or if we don't accomplish it, at least that's our fear, that we're gonna get ridiculed or whatever. But before we really begin a journey and before we start going after our vision and our mission, we have to count the cost. We have to really see what that's gonna look like, because a lot of times we don't do that. And so I wanna give you two practical things to keep in mind when it comes to vision and goal setting, counting the cost and being all in. And these are two really easy things, and these are two things that I have done in my life. So I know they work. Number one, map it out. Map it out. That's kind of an easy one, but we don't always do that. What is it that you really want to accomplish? You need to start mapping it out, and what you need to do, and what you need to do now, what you need to do then, and what you need to do later. We said last week, perfect practice makes perfect. So maybe you need to look at who is the best at what it is that you want to accomplish, and don't necessarily try to emulate them. Learn from them. See if there's a way maybe you can do it better. Our maximum is God's minimum. Remember that. Our maximum is God's minimum. What can you start practicing this week to accomplish this year? Map it out. Put that together. What does that look like for you? Number two, and I think this is extremely important as well. That's why I'm only giving you two things. Learn to subtract. And by learn to subtract, I think maybe another way to say that would be, keep it simple. Keep it simple. If you only have a few arrows, you need to figure out where you'll be shooting those arrows. More specifically, what are your targets you're aiming at? You only have 24 hours in a day, so you need to figure out where your time is best invested. School, that's a no-brainer. Sorry, you may not like that one, but school is somewhere that you need to invest your time. That needs to be an important thing. School is important. You need brains to do school, so it's not a no-brainer from that perspective. Thank you, Nettie. But you know what I'm saying. Your schoolwork deserves your attention, so that needs to be one. But maybe you need to start saying no to some things. Some of you are really, really busy, and it's cool to be involved in stuff. That's really cool. But some of you need to say no to some stuff. There's a scene in one of my favorite movies, at the end of one of my favorite movies. It's called The Count of Monte Cristo, if you've never seen it. And the villain at the end, he's got a gun, and there's a couple of people in the room. And the one person that's trying to go after him looks at him and he says, "You got one shot, and it's going to take more than that to stop me," before he goes after him. And the villain says something actually really brilliant. He says, "Well, then I better put it where it's going to do the most damage." And then he shoots his girlfriend. But that's not the point, right? But that's not the point. The Count of Monte Cristo, one of the best movies ever. Anyway, here's my point. He had one shot, and he had to put it where it would do the most damage. Listen, some of you guys, you only have so much time in the day. You only have so much energy. You can't be a world-class chef, the best lacrosse player, the best basketball player, learn 5 instruments, speak 7 languages, and do that all in like 1 week. Like, you just can't do it. There's a really interesting method that they teach us in art school, and it's called the KISS method. You've probably heard it.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, stupid. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Let me give you another little story that goes along with that. I got them in. When Steve Jobs came back to Apple, you know what the first thing he did was? He got rid of almost all of their products, and he nailed it down to 3 products. They had like 18 or something crazy. And he said, "We're going to do 3 things, and we're going to do those 3 things really well." And you know what Apple is now? Literally the most valuable company on the planet, hands down. And he simplified it. He simplified it. Because they were doing way too much. And if you try to be a master of everything, you'll be a master of nothing. If you're just okay at a bunch of things, you won't be really good at anything. And that includes maybe what the vision is that God is giving you. Maybe some of you need to start saying no. If you want to make this year your year, you need to start investing your arrows that God has given you for your vision and put them where they'll do the most damage. Aim them where you should put the most effort into them. Find one thing. I dare you to do this. Simplify it all. It's this minimalistic idea. Find one thing that you can do really well and nail it. And go after it and kill it. You can't be the best everything. You don't have to do it all, but you need to give your all in the areas that you are the most passionate about. Because God has put that in you. But here's the deal. The most costly price of all, God's love for you, his love for you, it's unconditional. And yes, he has put a passion and a vision in you, but the number one vision for you, the number one passion for all of us should be him. And then it should stem down from there. Because he has got to be involved in whatever it is that you're passionate about. I asked you last week to trust Jesus as the vision for your life. And while his love for you is unconditional and his love for you is free, following Jesus comes with a price. Think about that. Following Jesus, really following Jesus, comes with a price. If you want to follow Jesus, you need to consider the cost. Salvation is a free gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it. All of us can go to heaven. All of us can have that relationship with Jesus for nothing. And we don't have to do anything. We can't do anything to earn it or deserve it. But to truly follow Jesus, it's costing everything. It costs you everything to really follow Jesus. Because it's no longer about yourself. It's not about you. Just as Jesus loves us freely, he sacrificed his life for you. And all he's asking in return is for that to be mirrored in your life. It's pricey because following Jesus requires everything. Your whole life. So what if you trusted God? What if whatever that dream is, whatever that passion is in your life, whatever that goal is you have even for this year, even if it's just simplified. So I told you guys to maybe do one thing really well. Maybe that one thing really well this year is you're going to get really good grades. Maybe it's just that simple. Let's keep it simple, stupid. All right? Maybe it's just something that simple, but you do that really, really well. And then let's move that into something else. What if you trusted God to take your dreams and take them to the level of impossible? Do you think Michael Jordan ever thought that he was going to be the best that ever played? Or the second best? LeBron. But to do that, listen, I'm not going to get off on that. We need to stay focused on what we're really talking about here. Here's the thing. To do this, it's going to cost you everything that you are. To follow Jesus and make him your ultimate passion, it's going to cost you everything. But you know what's more expensive? Not giving your life to Jesus. Not giving your life to Jesus is more expensive. Or maybe you just settle for the minimum. Maybe you settle for like, I'm good. But that would be a life of regret. That would be a life of wondering what could have been. That would be a life of going, man, maybe God really was calling me to do that. But I guess I'll never know because I never really tried, because I never really believed, because when I had the chance, I only fired 3 arrows instead of 6, 7, or 8, or however many I had in my quiver. That's a life of regret. The greatest cost, though, if we refuse to trust Jesus, costs us our soul. It costs us eternity. We're actually surrendering everything to an even worse fate. And that's eternal separation from God. That's suffering and loneliness. That's the most costly price of all. So the connection point for the night, I've said it a few times already, but our maximum is God's minimum. Our maximum is God's minimum. You need to remind yourself of that. Maybe you need to put that on your phone. Maybe you need to have Sprinkle of Jesus tell you that a couple of times while you're pursuing your goal, is to remember that our maximum is God's minimum. We can give everything, and we're still not even close to what we can do when God is involved and when he is part of that. So I want to be clear about two different costs that are on the table here. As we're counting the cost for what this looks like, the cost of trusting Jesus with your future as opposed to trusting yourself with your future. Try trusting Jesus with your future. And then there's the cost of your eternity. The cost of letting that take over. And that second one is going to cost way more than the first one. Again, last week we talked about trusting Jesus as your vision for life, but have you counted the cost of your eternity? I wonder. I hope you all have. Our maximum is God's minimum. Let's pray. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you've never put your full faith and trust in him, if you've never given everything over to him, maybe you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven, but maybe you're not. Maybe you haven't given everything over to him. Maybe you're just waiting for whatever reason. And you haven't given him all that you are. You haven't given him everything. We all do it. We all hold back. But truly following Jesus costs everything. It really costs everything. His love is unconditional. Salvation is free. But actually following him costs a lot. He's only asking for everything. Have you given that to him? Have you trusted him with your dreams? Have you trusted him with your passions? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's really hard to do that. It's really hard to trust him with your dreams and your passions. And so maybe you need to start there. And if that's you, if you're not 100% sure that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to heaven, and you want to know more about that, would you be willing to just look up at me and look me right in the eye? I won't make anybody get up. I won't do anything along those lines. I just would love to have a conversation with you if that's you. For the rest of us, my prayer for you is that you would give it all to him. Father, I love you. Thank you for the great night that we've had. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing through this church. Thank you for what you're doing through our student ministries. I thank you for answered prayer. And God, I thank you that you want to be involved in every aspect of our life. I thank you that you have a passion for each one of us. I thank you that we can all have a vision and a mission for our life that you've put just for us. Lord, all of us have the vision and or at least the mission of being your witnesses to everyone that we come in contact with. But God, there is something that you have each and every one of us on this planet for. I pray that we would own that. And we'd give it all to you. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, Father, I pray that tonight would be the night they would get that right. Thank you for the good night that we've had. I thank you for the fun. Thank you for the food we're going to have. Thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for salvation. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.